So notice with me, Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice. Now, when he says, I was about to write, who's saying this? John. Okay. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel, when I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which therein, which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin the sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. All right. So as we come here to this portion, again, I'm just highlighting a few parts because some things people like to, let me say this, they really like to embellish things. Or sometimes people get carried away when it comes to interpretation. And so I would like to establish some things here. By the way, from Revelation 10, verse 1 through Revelation 11, verse 14, there's kind of a parenthesis that is found, the same one that is found in Revelation 7. The seven trumpets will sound after this parenthesis in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. If you go to chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So remember what I said, there are seven seals. There was a kind of a parenthesis between seal 6 and seal 7. And then when you think about within the seventh seal are seven trumpets. And when you reach the seventh or the sixth trumpet, there is kind of a parenthesis between trumpet 6 and trumpet 7. That parenthesis is chapter 10 through chapter verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 15. And then the seventh trumpet sounds. Okay, and so we have that layout here. This is when we have this specific picture for us there in chapter 10. Now, first of all, let's identify the characters that are involved in chapter 10. There are really three distinct characters. The first one, obviously, is John. We read that from the words, and I saw. Well, John is the one penning the words, so that's John. So we identify John. And there is a voice from heaven that spake unto John. Notice verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me. That's John, correct? So these are important details here. So that the angel is speaking to John, same thing in verse 9, he said unto me. And so in this chapter we find John as a participant and not just as one who is observing. Right, a lot of the things he's observed, I saw. But here is I heard, and he becomes a participant within this revelation. So that's, again, an important detail. And so in this chapter, we find John as a participant, not just as one who is observing things and recording them. John is told to follow here specific instructions. There is another angel. Notice verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. So there's another angel. Scripture declares here this angel, notice, to be another angel. That's what verse 1 says. And so this angel comes down to earth. Some have said that this angel is Jesus Christ. However, there's no evidence for that statement. And the fact that he refers to as another angel, it's another among many. Does that make sense? So Jesus is the angel if he's referred to as an angel. So again, you'll see sometimes people say, they'll run to conclusions. Oh, that's Jesus Christ based on the interactions. Well, wait a minute. He's referred to as another angel. There's been lots of angels that we've seen sounding the trumpet. Right? It's been an angel that has sounded the trumpet and so forth. Then there is a third character, and that is we find a voice from heaven in verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me. Now notice the angel's on earth. John's on earth. The voice comes from heaven. Spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel. So the angel is there. There's a voice from heaven. The angel is next to John. He has the book and it's open. And he's going to go to take this book from the angel and eat this book. So the voice is distinct from that of the angel. The one speaking from heaven tells John to go to the angel and to take the book which is in his right hand. And so this is the voice, by the way, that seems to me has been speaking all along. That's the voice of God. So these are the characters involved in chapter 10. But then let's try to find out what is this little book? There are several books when you read through Revelation. The first one we took note of was the book with the seven seals. So here this is a distinct book. It's called the Little Book. So before we make any speculation and reading on the subject, there's all kinds of things out there. And how do you know what is right? So, but before we make any fanciful speculation about this little book, let's try to look at the context in which we find this little book. And maybe we could get some indication as to what this little book is based on the context. Context is, I've said this before, is king. It's always important to think about the context. You can make up anything you want, but typically we want the context to always dictate the interpretation, not to come up with our own ideas. And so the context here is, I think, helpful. There is there any indication as to what this little book is, or, as we find in the book of Revelation, or what this little book represents? Consider all the verses that are mentioned. First of all, verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And so here, notice, the first thing we note about this little book is that it is open. Now, this is in contrast to the book with the seven seals, which when we first read about that book, it was what? Closed. And so it was, we might say, it was not open. And so Jesus Christ, by the way, opened the sealed book in Revelation chapter 5. However, this book is already open here. The angel has it. Therefore, we can conclude that what is contained in this book, remember, the book with the seven seals, are things not revealed that we don't know about. But this little book is open. That means we already know what's in it. It's not a hidden revelation. It's open. So it's something that is already open. It is already known. And so John began to write the things which were uttered in verse 4. John is told, by the way, notice verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which were the seven thunder uttereth, and write them what? Now, that's another important detail. You see, John began to write these things which were uttered. And in verse 4, John is told not to write the things which were uttered. And so we can be assured that the message of the angel is connected to the book that he is holding in his right hand. You see, what is the message of this angel then? So the first detail is this little book is open. We might say it's already revealed, and the things that are uttered are already there. Because he says to John, don't write them. If you notice here, the second thing we note about this little book is that the little book is connected to the mystery of God being finished. So it is apparent here that whatever this mystery is, it has already been declared by the prophets. Notice verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So the Old Testament prophets not only prophesied concerning Messiah's first coming, but they also prophesied about his second coming. And so the prophecies concerning Messiah, although they've been prophesied, the second coming has not been fulfilled. And so we can, I think, here reasonably conclude that this little book represents the scriptures. And maybe we might say, specifically because of the mention of the prophets, the Old Testament prophecies that John already knew concerning Jesus Christ. Because they're already known. By the way, this is the same thing that is mentioned, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, excuse me, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18. Notice 2 Peter 1, verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. So he describes here the mount of transfiguration. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, here, Peter is referring to in the past tense, correct? The New Testament has not been closed because he is actively writing the New Testament right now. So when he's referring to the prophecy, he's referring to the Old Testament scripture. So I want us to think here. John, in the same way here, right? He is actively writing the book of Revelation as he sees those visions. The New Testament has not been completed yet, but what has been completed is the Old Testament. And the Old Testament furnishes enough evidence of not just the first coming of Messiah, but the second coming of Messiah. And those prophecies are to be fulfilled. So when we come to Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7, when he says, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Notice he is sounding something that what? As he hath declared to his servants, the prophets, it's already been declared. So notice the angel that has this book, he's declaring what's been around for a long time. Does that make sense? He's not declaring something new. The book is open. John would be familiar with the Old Testament scripture. So we see here that this little book is connected to the mystery of God being finished. And although I know that the New Testament completes the Old Testament does talk about the end of all things. Now, the New Testament gives a lot of clarity concerning those things, but that's been already prophesied. So again, we can reasonably conclude here that this little book represents what I believe to be the Old Testament prophecies that John already knew concerning the second advent of the Lord. There's a third thing we know about this book, and that is the little book is to be in John's possession. Upon receiving this little book, in fact, John is instructed to prophesy again. Notice verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go, and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Notice verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. So notice here, what John is commanded to prophesy, the mystery of God concerning what is finished, it's something that the prophets have declared, that the angel is declaring here right now, and that he says, John, you declare it. So this little book then is to be in John's possession. And upon receiving this little book, he is instructed to prophesy. Notice the word again, right? Or not again, but he says, thou shalt prophesy. Yeah, he said again before many people. So that means this. John had already prophesied about those things. Correct? In other words, what the contents of this little book, he already knew. And he is to do it again. So, again, some important details here. John was told, even as we noted, not to write the things uttered, the voice that came from heaven. He was instructed how to take possession of this little book. There was no need for John to write something new when he could take possession of that which had already been written. So, here is a third thing. So we have the characters involved. We hopefully get a little clarity as to what this little book is. But let's consider a third aspect, and that is we must understand the instruction to John because he is told to eat it. All right? Now, John is told to take this little book from the angel and eat it. And this may seem to be a strange thing to ask John, but let me ask, is it really that strange? And I'm talking about in the spiritual sense here. Is it really that strange to eat the book? Let's look through a few scripture. Okay, I'll ask you all to read. Who'd like to read Matthew 4:4? All right, Ray. Who'd like to read Jeremiah 15:16? Bill. Psalm 119 verse 103. James. Job 23:12. Brother Wagner, and then Frank, if you want to do Ezekiel 2:9. And then if you want to do also, since you're there, chapter 3, verse 1 as well. So let's just look at those references here. Is it really that strange that John should eat this book? So Matthew 4:4. Go ahead, right.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Every man shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds. Well, what do you do with bread? What do you do with the word of God? In a spiritual sense, eat it. In the same way that you consume bread for your physical survival, you must consume the word of God for your spiritual survival, for your spiritual health. Let's go to Jeremiah 15:16. So Jeremiah says, I did eat thy word, and I found great joy in eating your word. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119, verse 103. James, go ahead.
How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
All right. So it's sweet to eat and to consume. Not eating the book. But there's something about the words of God. And let's go to Job 23:12. Brother Jack.
Either have I gone back from the commandments of thy lips, of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary.
Well, there you go. It's the words that come from the mouth of God, we should esteem them more than the very food that we eat. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Let's go one more. Ezekiel 2:9. Frank, go ahead.
And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And 3:1 would be, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat what thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel.
All right, so there you have this idea here. This is not a strange idea to the Scriptures, that John is to eat this book. Again, we think of the Bible in the spiritual sense. And so here John is to, again, based on this book, he's to prophesy again, but here he is to eat it. And I'll talk about the details here just a moment, but I wanted to read just a portion of what one pastor said. He says, all of this sounds rather strange until we stop and think about eating. God has so made the human body that it cannot sustain itself. It must be nourished by food and by drink from some other source. Looking at food is not sufficient. Tasting food and then spitting it out cannot provide the necessary nourishment. One must taste, chew, and swallow. Then the food enters the body, is broken down, and is transported in such a way that it actually becomes a part of one's body as he eats it. Man is unable to keep on living because his food has been made a part of his body. Eating poisoned food will kill, and the lack of a balanced diet will lead to sickness and disease. Likewise, God has so made the inner man that it cannot sustain itself. It must be nourished with food and drink from the pages of the Holy Bible. Looking at the Bible, even reading the Bible, will not suffice. Tasting the truth of the Word and then spitting it out cannot provide the necessary nourishment. One must taste, chew, and swallow. Then the Scripture enters the heart and mind and is broken down and is transported in such a way that it actually becomes a part of the one who has eaten it. One is enabled to keep on living the spiritual life because this food has been made a part of his soul. Eating food poisoned by man's opinion or human doctrine will kill. Now, there's one more thing I want us to note about this book, and that is verse 10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Now the question is, well, what's going on? Why is it sweet of the taste and bitter when it hits the stomach? Well, we are concerning ourselves here with the second advent of Jesus Christ. Because they are the words of God, it is a pleasant thing to consume that which God has spoken. But there's a sense as we think about the judgment of God that there's a little painfulness about it. When we think about the second coming of Christ, specifically as we think about the judgment of God upon the earth. And so there is the dual aspect, although this is a wonderful that we have this prophecy has been around for a long time, that John is to prophesy again, and there's something precious about the Word of God that's sweet to the mouth. But when you think about the implication, right, John, who is to prophesy again, he is to say, Jesus is coming. Now is the time of salvation. Because the next time Jesus comes, he comes as a judge. So there's a sweetness about the aspect of salvation, but there's also a painfulness involved in that you think about the wrath and the judgment of God. So that's just an explanation here on chapter 10, John, the angel, and a little book. All right, and I hope this gives clarity. The reason why I want to do this is because if you're not careful, you may read something or listen to somebody, particularly people who are consumed with prophecy. And I mean consumed with prophecy in an unhealthy way. There are 66 books in this. There are 66 books in the Bible, making a whole. And prophecy is a portion of it, but it's not what we should give our lives to. And people consume things in a very unhealthy way that now they're trying to find something new. They try to come up with, and really if we just look at the context itself and try to look and interpret based on the context, I think we can gain some clarity concerning those things in the picture that is there. And I believe here that for us as believers, here's why I wanted to say, why do you point out this specific chapter in Revelation 11? Because it applies to us today. That's why. What is it that we're to do today? What can we do that John did in chapter 10? Eat the book. Eat it up. And so may the Lord help us with that.